Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love talking about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and joining me as usual is the thin, gorgeous, talented, and very well-groomed Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben. Oh. He's from the Banter Blender podcast. Hi, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie.
How are you, hon?
Oh, you know, I'm making my way through the day. I'm making my way through the day like Vanessa Carlton.
Try a little positivity then. Right?
Trying to make my way. Or at least, although I think Vanessa Carlton's just making her way downtown. But I like to think that I'm making my way downtown via the day.
Well, the other way rhymed better.
Yeah.
You can find all our social media links over at watchwhatcrappens.com if you want to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. I posted a picture of my dog eating a bag. So, you know, that's always worth it.
Yeah.
Also, come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, to talk to other listeners. And we talk shit there all week about the shows. We have live show threads and stuff like that. And people post really hilarious news articles there. It's a fun community. So if you're not already a part, get the hell over there. Also, you can subscribe to us on Patreon, which is our premium feed. And basically, you just get a bunch of extras, like bonus episodes. Today's was all about a gay porn star blackmailing a fat Republican. And that was super fun to read because right. It was a really long email.
Yeah, and somehow this all came from discussion of the Apple Watch. Yeah.
The plan was to talk about the Apple Watch.
And then we ended up talking about a gay porn star.
No. Yeah. So there's that. Those are once a week. We're also 2 episodes a week now. Those are totally free. But if you do want to subscribe, you can get the bonus episode, Ringers, a monthly Google Hangout. And also you could just keep us in clothes, which is always helpful. So thank you to everybody who subscribes to us, because you're making our dreams come true, you guys.
Yeah.
So we have a big episode today. Lots of stuff has happened this week on Bravo, but the biggest thing that happened, Real Housewives of New York returned. Ben, what do
it's
you
back.
Think?
Oh, I'm so happy. You know, this is my favorite of all the Real Housewives, regardless of who's in the cast. I love it, but I'm loving it even more right now. The cast is bigger than it's ever been before. There are 8 women on this show. Yeah, I don't think all of them are going to survive till next season, but I am on board and I am ready for this roller coaster of a season to begin.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Well, New York usually makes me crazy because they're so like yelly and screamy and kind of toxic. They're kind of, New York and Jersey, the East coasters are a little too right. much for me, but I really love the past. Ever since they got rid of stupid fucking Jill Zarin, okay? Shut up, Jill Zarin. If you're listening to this, you're probably talking at the same time. Shut up.
Well, no, to be fair, Jill Zarin, her first 2 seasons was great. Everyone loved Jill Zarin. But then when she got into her fight with Bethany, it was like she became a fame monster. She just wanted to be famous. And she became the worst.
She still is. She's starting Twitter war. She's trying to start Twitter war. She was on Twitter yesterday saying, oh, I sure did see Ramona's husband cheating at a party in the Hamptons. I saw it with my own eyes. Don't call me a liar. True dat. She like hashtag true dat. And I was like, oh, Jill, you're hashtagging things true dat, Jill. Like this, it's awkward enough. And this was posted by Cindy C. So thank you. Who's like one of the best posters on our site, but let me bring it up because this is hilarious. Jill Zarin, you're not on the show, okay? It's like she's watching it live and live tweeting like she's on the show. You know that bitch still submits Bravo blogs every day. Just in case they, like, forget posting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Wow. Took a lot of that.
So should we just go through the epi? Well, first, the biggest thing is
Bethany's back. Right? Isn't that the biggest thing? I mean, there are a lot of big things, to be honest.
There's so many big things. Okay, well, Bethany's back. Ugh, the mouth.
The mouth. But, and yet, I still stand by what I've always said before.
Oh, God, it's so busy. I have so much to do. I mean, look at what I'm doing. I'm in the presidential suite. Here I am at the president.
I mean, I'm homeless. This is crazy. Can you believe it? I'm homeless. I mean, look, I have all this money, but I'm homeless. I don't know what to do.
My husband stole the house that I worked for.
Here's what I have to say about Bethany. I've always said that she's better in the context of The Real Housewives because she's a little bit more diluted, and I still agree with that. She did make me laugh this episode for sure. But, you know, where I sort of lost her was a little bit of the victimhood. Like, on the one hand, when she was crying at the end of the episode and she's like, I work so hard, like and they show footage of her trying to sell cookies from like season one. And then it's true, she has worked hard, and she, and it does suck that she doesn't get that apartment. So I'm like totally on her side for that. But where she loses me, where she's like, I mean, I'm homeless. I mean, I don't know. I need to have a home for my kids. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I can't have another kid because I don't have a home. I'm like, you just said that you bought a place in the Hamptons. You bought a place in Soho. Now you're looking for another place. You know, you can spare me the homeless act just a little bit.
Yeah. And also she forgets that she had a spinoff show that we watched where we got to see her husband driving around door to door, helping her become successful. You know, helping her with her branding, helping her with her ideas, helping her with her business that made her a humongous success. So sorry, but cameras were there and we saw that. So you need to stop your bitching. Okay, hon? Because we saw him earn that money. I mean, so, he literally drove around from store to store with her selling that shit and getting that in stores and blah, blah, blah. He earned it. We also saw her treat him like total shit the whole time they were on that show and have a fit when he threw her a surprise party and just treat him like total trash. Bitch, I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for you at all. I hope he gets your money, and good for him for staying in that house and refusing to be poor because you decided to discard his ass.
Right. What, I don't actually really know the details of their divorce because I just sort of like put on my blinders to all like the Bethany Frankel gossip. What do we know, like, what precipitated it? Was it just that she was treating him like shit?
No, we don't really know. I mean, I don't know because I didn't pay attention either. I only watched the spinoffs because of this.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to reading it, oosh, people posted talk show clips and stuff, and I was like, yikes. But, you know, I don't hate her. She just gets on my nerves. It's like that yappy New York thing. It made me crazy when I lived there, and it makes me crazy now.
And she's like very aggressive.
Yeah, and it's not a New York thing. Everybody in New York knows what I'm talking about. It's the yappy New York thing. It's like the Ramona and Bethany yappy yap.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird because it used to be more charming, I think, when she was poor. But now that she's, like, successful, it's somehow insufferable.
Yeah, and she's got, you know, the first episode is she's staying in the presidential suite. Was that at the Plaza? That couldn't have been the Plaza.
No, that was at the Essex House.
Oh, I was going to say.
Now at JW Marriott. But, like, still, that's the thing to me. I'm like, this just seems so excessive.
It is. But she's, like, going to the presidential suite. But then she's like, oh, you know, because I'm working on my book, the kids book, and then a book about drinking. And then, you know, she's got a table set up with all of her skinny girl products. And it's like, come on, stop. She's coming off as just too thirsty. Like, she's always plugging something. Like, just be a fucking real person for 2 seconds. She did make me laugh a lot through the episode, too. She's just maybe a little bit too phony for me.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how the season plays out. You know, is she going to be the fun, like voice of for the people as she was in the beginning? What's that called? Like the chorus?
the Greek chorus.
Or is she just going to be now like really arrogant, like this arrogant, successful businesswoman who needs to be taken down a peg? I mean, if you ask me, the entrepreneur to watch is Luann because she's the one who has that fabulous flatware and plates and bowls that she's trying to sell.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe toasting will come back in style again, and
that's
Sonia
true.
Will make everybody regret it.
Yeah, exactly. Skinny girl toast.
But one of my favorite things. Skinny girl toast. One of my favorite things is when she says, "I run an international business." I'm like, "Oh, shut up." So do I, because I'm on the internet. Shut up, you dumb hoe. And later in the episode, she's like, does Bill Gates put up with this? Does Oprah put up with this? I'm like, you're neither, okay? Blue screen of death.
Well, I think that's what she was trying to say, is that
no.
Like she's still like one of us.
Oh, I didn't get it that way.
As she talks to her gay porn star turned reality star realtor.
Frederick Eklund.
He's like, what's your fetish?
Ooh, there's some Russian people outside. Bueller about to bark.
Ooh, about to...
Bueller, I believe in you. I believe you can hold it, Bueller. Good boy. He just gave me the slowest look. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Do you hear sirens? There are all sorts of sirens that I hear out here.
Oh, God. MJ probably can't get her fridge open. Her mom probably locked it on her.
What is all this?
What is this fridge? I lock for you. You find real man.
Oh, no. It's no, not Persian fridge. Persian fridge shape of a pomegranate.
So the next scene was Kristen, and she's still with that ugly fucking husband wearing his branded everything, I'm sure. And then all I could hear was screaming babies, and I had to fast forward. I can't. I'm done with her.
Kristen, there's really nothing that's going on in Kristen's world except that her baby is now walking, which is good. And,
I mean, I guess. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. That's like
my sister called me one time and told me her baby pooped in the toilet because she gave it an M&M. And I was like, I really don't give a shit, okay? I pooped for free today.
Oh, let me tell you something. I've done more than my share of pooping today. For those of you who don't know, which would really be all of you, I am in the midst of...
Oh, no, why are you doing that? I was so proud of you.
I'm in the midst of a thing that's going on with my bowels. That's all I'll say.
Lisa Vanderpump does not have this problem.
Yeah. Lisa and I are polar opposites right now. She's like the queen, right? She doesn't poop. Well, I am like the court jester. And I am really having some issues. But I was going to say, nothing's really going on with Kristen except, you know, the thing is with Josh is that he's the sort of guy who gets Under Armour, like non-athletic Under Armour clothes, you know, like an Under Armour polo shirt.
Wait, who does that?
Her husband, Josh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was out of it. And you said Under Armour, and I was like, hey, that ad's always on like Tinder or something or Grindr. And I was like, what is this Under Armour? It's underwear?
No, Under Armour. No, well, there's Under Gear and there's Under Armour.
What is Under Armour?
Under Armour is like athletic stuff.
It's
like,
well, that's why I don't know.
It's like sports. It's like it's clothing you wear when you work out or when you like do sports. But they but they also have clothing that you just can wear normally, but like no one gets it for that. It's like going to a Victoria's Secret catalog or the store. I'm buying a dress there instead of lingerie.
One of my friends just paid $175 for yoga pants. Do you know how disgusted Buddha would be with that? Fucking workout clothes. Get in your underwear and your bra like everybody else at the Y in El Paso.
At the risk of being totally judgmental, when I see women wearing yoga pants around, just like casually, like sweatpants, whatever, I pass massive amounts of judgment. Oh, I hate it.
Just anybody in yoga pants, or like specifically, like
It really is like when I see a whole bunch of women. Now this I know this. I admit it. I know this sounds totally sexist. I'm sorry, but this is just how I feel. You know, when you see a bunch of women walking around in the yoga pants and there are yoga mats everywhere, it's like you go up to San Francisco, you walk around the marina down there. It's everywhere you go. You go to Montana Avenue in Brentwood, a bunch of women in their yoga pants. It's like the yoga pants really aren't the problem. It's more like, oh, this is basically informing me of what sort of person you are. Like you are just one of these like really insufferable Lululemon types.
Lululemon. Yes. Those are the expensive yoga pants.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, that was totally sexist, and I'm burning down your pizza shop.
I know. It was totally sexist, but you know what, though? There are a lot of guys who do equal. Look, I just bashed the guys. Guys who wear Under Armour polo shirts.
Well, that's true, yeah. Well,
I'm going after everyone.
There's a new yoga place down the street from us, and everybody's carrying around their yoga mats and then their yoga pants, too. And I saw one of my neighbors the other day walking with her yoga mat and her yoga pants, and I was like, you're the biggest C-word I've ever met in my life. I cannot believe you're bragging about some spiritual exercise. How about not being a C-word? How about that? And then you can try and touch your toes later. Or maybe, like, jog, bitch, because yoga ain't working.
I mean, I get it. If you're going to do yoga, like you have to put on yoga pants. I get that. But there's sometimes
put on some shorts. Yoga pants. What, they're jogging pants? Yoga pants are thin jogging pants. That's all they are. They're jogging pants that are easier for your ass to eat. Okay? It's like thin bagel bite things, like sandwich bagel thins. It's just easier to get down.
Yeah, anyway. And I'm sure there'll be some things that CrossFit guys do that will drive me nuts in a similar way. So don't worry, ladies.
Like run really fast and then pick up weights that they can't carry and almost throw out their back and then throw the weights really hard down on the ground.
It's like, I'm so sick of watching guys flipping giant tires down the sidewalk.
Whatever happened to push-ups?
Whatever happened to a medicine ball?
How about you walk back from the store every once in a while? Stop using the horse.
You know, there's some tractor out there that needs that tire.
Speaking of exercise, my favorite opening line of all of them was Carol's. I'm on a new diet. I'm eating cucumbers, vodka, and butter. Lots of butter.
Oh, she's so funny.
Cryptkeeper Carol.
I know. I like that they keep on making Heather go, holla, every year.
Heather had like a true dat in this episode or something. I was like, oh no, Heather. So you still think you're P-dids? Nope.
Yeah.
Reel it in. So the ladies meet for like lunch or breakfast or something, and they all immediately start talking about what a crazy asshole Sonia has been lately, and right. I died. She went to a Molly Ringwald cabaret yes. performance, which is hilarious in yes. itself.
Exactly. Well, they were like, did you see that item in page 6? And they flash a headline from page 6 that was like, Sonia Morgan makes a boozy entrance at Molly Ringwald cabaret show. I was like, what the hell? I had to look it up immediately.
She shows up to Molly Ringwald's cabaret show and starts talking to her on stage through the whole thing, apparently.
Yeah. And was like amazing. Drunk off her ass and wearing jeans and whatever.
Let's see. What else happened on
this? So, yeah. So they were in shock about that. And they were like, because Luann has invited everyone to her new house in the Hamptons. And she invited Ramona, but so she invited Sonia also because she had to. So that is that. So then Ramona met up with Sonia. I think that's what happened next, more or less, right?
She met up with Sonia because she's been ignoring Sonia. So she was going to talk about her broken marriage to Mario, which is hilarious because Ramona's take on her broken marriage is just total horseshit. And anybody who has a newspaper on their internet knows what horseshit she's spewing. She's like, well, you know, he begged me back. And so I went back to him. And so, you know, he just wanted me back so bad, but I just couldn't forgive him. And I'm like, bitch, please. He was like with some 15-year-old blonde girl all over town. He was not begging you to come back.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. But anyway, they got into this, like, my divorce was worse.
Well, basically, Sonia's like, she's like, okay, I want to hear what's going on with you. I want to find out what's going on with you, singer. And so then Ramona's like, well, you know, I feel like my world is falling apart inside. And then Sonia's like, well, that's exactly how I felt in 2005, you know, it's just, that's how I feel. And you know what, but then now I'm doing great. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Ramona's like, okay.
Ramona's like, well, you know, I had 25 years. Sonia's like, yeah, but I had 9 years plus 7 that we dated, so... You know, I mean, that's a lot of years that I'm not going to count right now. Ramona's like, yeah, but, you know, I had more. And, you know, I mean, my marriage was longer. And Sonia's like, yeah, but, I mean, my house is falling apart. I mean, my husband was rich. Now I have nothing. I mean, I have interns that I get off Craigslist. Pickles is gone. Pickles is gone.
Yeah, but Pickles broke computer number 3. I love that Sonia. Sonia has, like, labeled the computers in her home as computer 1, 2, and 3, which is like so like middle school.
And she's like, well, of course you can't use computer number 2 because you keep messing up the mouse because you're so rough with the mouse. Like, oh, I'll my take God. Computer number you know 3. That's some mouse that she got like in a box on the street that someone was leaving their shit out. And she's like, oh, wow, a mouse.
Yeah. It's an actual mouse. She's like, well, you know, I found this mouse in Saint-Tropez. Then I put it down.
Every time I try and right-click, it bites me.
Yeah. So I think I must be doing something right.
Stop being so hard on the mouse. You're never going to move the cursor.
Because you know what? When I click on the mouse, it bites me and I curse.
So
I'm the cursor.
I become the cursor. The mouse has turned me into the cursor.
And then she's like, listen, you know... No one takes me seriously, but I have an international empire. I've got like, you know, a fashion line happening. I've got this, I've got that. You just wait as she's like lying, getting her like getting gold leaf, you know, put on her face. And she's like, oh, well, I got to go. It's time for the dog's trainer. Like, yeah. Sounds like those international brands are really coming to life.
I like when she was telling Ramona, listen, when we go to the Hamptons, you cannot let these girls just talk to me like that. You have to stick up for me, okay, Ramona? And Ramona's like, no, I got my own problems. I don't like to stick up for you. I don't feel comfortable with that, okay?
Because,
you know, my mother used to like me to stick up for her, and then I would get zucchini thrown in my face. I do not want noodles in my face tonight, all right? Okay.
I'm sorry. You know what? So when I was a child, Geraldine Parsons Smith would come over and she would say things about me, and I had to stand up to myself for myself, and I don't want to do it anymore for you or for anyone else, because I'm sick of it, because Geraldine Parsons Smith really bothered me. So when I see people throw spaghettis or zoodles, I'm sorry. You just have to deal with it yourself.
I'm going to tell you what I told my mother, okay? Sometimes it's up to a woman to stick up for herself, okay? And then I would run into the woods and I would cry all alone. But did my mother come stick up for me when the trees were being mean to me and dropping leaves on my head? No. And that's where I learned. It's time to stick up for yourself, okay?
So this is funny. I'm really remembering this right now. This is like my childhood right here. I would go into the woods, okay, and I would see a squirrel. Okay, this is really funny now. I would see a squirrel and I'd say, hey, squirrel, come down and play with me. And the squirrel would just run away. And I would cry and cry and cry. And everyone would be like, why are you crying? I'm like, well, because the squirrel didn't want to play with me. And they would say, well, that's because you're an awful person. And I hated that, but I have to stand up for myself, because I know the reason why the squirrel didn't want to play with me is not because I'm a bad person. It's because the squirrel was mentally deranged. That's all.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that Sonia's like, well, you have to stick up for them. You know, you have to stick up for me. If they make fun of me, you've got to tell them. No, she's not just a toaster. She's not just a person with a toaster, okay? She's got an international business. She knows George Clooney. I mean, she's being sued for being a film producer because she's got so much money. I mean, look at all the products. It's like, Sonia, please stop trying. You have nothing going on. You still have nothing going on. You don't even have a toaster. Where's your toaster?
Yeah.
Missing song, yeah. Toaster. All right. Toaster. I want to see that fucking toaster. Bring out the toaster. Speaking of not working, Carol, she's like, what? What's a deadline? What do you What's mean I signed a contract? But I found Tinder.
I'm on Tinder. I don't. I'm going to write about Tinder. My book's going to be as long as a Tinder profile. Every chapter's going to be a profile.
It's too hard to even respond to Tinders with emojis. Bleh.
The Widow's Guide to Swiping Left and Right.
So let's see. Dorinda. Okay, the new Dorinda. One. She's like a real-life soprano. She's like a real-life Mrs. Soprano. She looks just like her.
Yeah.
Her furniture looks like Mrs. Soprano moving out on her own. What was her name? Tony, and what's her name? What's the wife's name?
Carmella.
Carmella, that's right.
She is very Carmella-ish.
She's like a present-day Carmella. Tony's dead. Carmella's living alone in the city in a tiny L apartment.
Yeah. It was a small apartment. And it was a big
and
apartment.
She talks like the maid from the Jetsons.
It's a big apartment for New York standards, but small for Real Housewives standards, because when they were sitting at their dining room, you could see into the bedroom. I was like,
and the living room.
Yeah. But I like her. So
Mr.
far, I like
Jet
her.
Said, she's like, Ramona, I understand what you're talking about, because my first husband left me and my second husband, God bless his heart, is dead.
Sounds like Linda Richman now. Cole, we'll talk. Ramona. She actually had a very gravelly voice. It was actually in the Adrian Maloof realm.
I kept hearing Rosie.
Rosie.
Rosie the babe. Rosie Jetson.
But what was funny was that Ramona came over to talk. And Ramona
also
just like,
Ramona's even competitive with her. She's like, oh, yellow plates. I have yellow plates.
They remind me of sunshine. She's like, I like yellow. It's like, well, I'm gonna make some eggs. Oh, I can eat eggs. I like eggs. I can eat an egg.
Mario liked eggs.
Mario would never eat my eggs, but Avery would, because she's a good girl.
Mario spread his eggs all over the place. I'm lucky that I don't have little Marios running around. Oh, I miss those man boobs. I miss those hard man boobs. If only I'd massaged him more.
Okay. You know what's my favorite way to eat eggs? Sunny side up, because it reminds me of sunshine. Just like the plates. I want to have a sunny side up egg on a yellow plate, so that way it's like sun on sun. It's like a lot of sun.
The brightest eggs you ever saw. Okay.
Okay.
So what were you going to say before I rudely interrupted you to talk about plate?
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that made me laugh about the plates, and I forgot. I didn't take any notes.
I find my notes are funnier when I handwrite them, because I can't just write anything down, because usually I'm like, right. And then Ramona goes to this lady's house, and then their maid is fat, and then they blah, blah, blah. I can only write like one thing, because I'm like write like a five-year-old. So I just have Dorinda, Soprano. Well, Ramona has yellow plates.
Yeah. No. So what's funny is that Ramona sits down and she starts talking about Mario and she starts to cry. And she's like crying and crying. And then she's like, and you know, I just had lunch with Sonia. You know, we went to Nello's, okay? And you know, she just makes everything about her. And you know, I didn't want to cry. I'm on Madison Avenue, so I don't want to cry, okay? But you know, it's like, you know, but it's like with you, I can just be me. I can, you know, because you give me all of this. You give me all of this. I'm like, she's not giving you anything. You haven't let her talk.
That's what she means.
Yeah, she's like,
you're just sitting there and staring at me like an audience member at a really bad dinner theater. So that's what I want.
Yeah. And Dorinda was like applying some strange corporate talk to it. She's like, that's not the way you execute that. That's not how you execute through this. She was like,
Hold on, let me get my PowerPoint presenter out.
As long as if he wasn't happy with the marriage, that's not how you execute through it. That's not what you do.
That is not good team building skills, Mr. Jetson.
Mr. Jetson. Well, I like also Ramona's like bawling, and the housekeeper or whoever it was just kept on coming through. Like, with I didn't know that eggs required so many plates. She just kept on showing up. I was like, this woman must think that she must be like, oh, I can't wait to tell my family about this today.
She's vying for the next housewife spot. But I also wrote narcissistic because No, she didn't say that. She said, I mean, Sonia, she can't stop talking about herself. She's so narcissistic. Like, oh yeah. No, Ramona. While Ramona's talking about herself the whole time.
Well, it's better, it's funny that, I mean, it's better than on Blood, Sweat, and Heels, which we'll get to later, when Geneva said, hey, why don't you just kick back and decompose?
English by Bravo.
What
else did I write? Like made from Jetson's Fendi tongue. Oh, yeah, then later she's hanging out with her daughter. Yeah, I really like her, too, this chick.
Fun and down to earth, and she also seems like the type that like you can't fuck with her, you know.
Yeah,
maybe it's because she has that like raspy smoker's voice.
Yeah, but she's like, listen, my third husband's gonna be a fat gay person who can get me a discount on clothes, Mr. Jetson. She's like not gonna feel any shame. She ain't gonna explain to us that he's gay. She's just like, he's gay. Well, he likes clothes. He's gonna get me this purse. Then her daughter, like, spends her money on some purse. I don't know. I just think she's super adorable. And I'm all for people, you know, I'm all for gay marriage. So I hope that works out.
Well, did you notice that her new boyfriend has the voice of Jax? Like, if you listen to it, he sounds exactly like Jax.
He does?
Yeah. Go back and listen. You'll hear. It's like Jax talking.
Oh, it makes me nervous.
I know.
So is that all that happened? It was kind of
Fendi. I mean, it was just sort of
Sonia's
like they were
pretending to be busy. Her gay husband, Oprah and Gates, and that's all I wrote. That's all she wrote for this one, y'all. Anything else happened on this?
I do wonder this. I remember a few years ago, a few seasons ago, Ramona and Jill Zarin wound up at like a funeral. I think they were at some funeral where like one of their friends had died. I wonder if it was Dorinda's husband because her second husband had died, and Ramona had said that she was close to them. I just can't remember, and I was too lazy to look it up. So that's something for the people of the podosphere to think about and maybe research for us.
Well, I will say this to end on this beautiful show. When it ended, I was like, oh, it's over? And that hasn't happened with a Housewives show in years.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, it's already over? That sucks.
Yeah. No, it
so,
was...
Yay. Of course, 30 hours from now, you know, like in right. Housewives time, I don't know that I'll be thinking that. I'll probably be like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And by the way, just so you know, everyone knows, generally, the New York Real Housewives of New York will be on our second episode of the week. But since our schedule is messed up this week because I was flying yesterday, we just figured we'd throw in Real Housewives of New York City right now.
Yeah, get it moving along, guys. Get us back on track over here.
So why don't we move on to... You want to move on to Melbourne?
Let's move on to Melbourne! I love that show. Every time I watch it, I laugh and laugh, Ben.
Yeah. So I was in New York over the weekend, and my mom doesn't like any of these shows, but even my mom was like, these women, the Melbourne ones, are just slightly classier than the other women that I've had to watch.
I think they just have an accent.
Yeah,
and
I was
that's
like,
how people
I,
are.
I was like, I hate to break it to you, Mom, but they're just as bad.
Women. Yeah. They're just as awful. They just have fun accents that makes them sound classier.
Yeah.
They're not American, so we automatically give them more respect. And everything in Australia costs more money, so we're like, they must be better than us.
Yeah. So I wrote down a whole bunch of notes, but I honestly can't remember anything that happened.
Oh, I wrote down lots of them. Good. You're going to be at the mercy of my notes.
Well, I have lots of notes, too. I just have to, like, get the old brain kick-started so I can remember what everything is. My first note is Petit Fleur wants to jump her son.
Oh, my God. That was the most awkward. Well, she wants to sell him to the fucking clerk in the store, too. She's like, look at my son. Isn't he handsome? Don't you want to stick your finger in his bum? Look at his bum. Look at his bum. Look at it.
He's got a gorgeous bum.
Awkward.
He has a gorgeous bum. You know, it's funny. I was at an Indian restaurant on Monday, and the waitress, I was like, gosh, her accent, like, something sounds so familiar about it. And I discovered she was Indian by way of Australia. So I was like, oh, that's where that accent is. It's
Petit Fleur. Yes, that's her. I can't do her accent yet. And I would try and learn it, but she's so insufferable to me that it's hard for me to not fast forward.
She's the Candy Burris of Australia. An accent, a voice that just cannot be mimicked.
Yeah. Her accent is so weird. I can't. Yeah, see, it's like Yolanda.
She's like, see, no, koala bears. See,
Mama.
No, didgeridoos. See, no, airs rock.
Well, she's trying to make her son successful by buying him a $10,000 suit. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out, especially if he just got a new job and he's only got one suit. He's going to be a $10,000 suit going to smell like BO just as much as a $10 suit. Okay, bitch?
That's right. Yeah, that was $8,000 for that suit. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Don't give an $8,000 suit to a 22-year-old. Jesus.
Then Petit Fleur talks about how difficult her life was growing up poor and how she blah, blah, blah. Her son is so lucky to have her as a mother. And I'm like, man, if you are this unbearable on TV when you're watching yourself, imagine what she's like at home. That cannot be good.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't. I can't with Petit Fleur.
And her son has that kind of handsomeness that only rich people have. Because if he was poor, he wouldn't be handsome. But there's something about the fact that he's so confident because he's rich that he has that sparkle in his eye that makes him hot, you know?
Yeah, even despite his emo hairstyle.
Yeah, just, you know, he's young. But you look at him and he's got the glimmer of a rich person. Suddenly that makes him – he's got like healthy sheen or something, like rich sheen. It makes him more attractive.
But he also has the butt that only a mother could love and does love.
Ugh, creepy. Touch it. Do you want to touch it? Yeah, touch his butt. Touch it. Put your finger in there. Oh, yes. Like,
switch the bitch. And by switch the bitch, I mean touch my son's butt.
I mean switch my son on his bitch butt. Yeah, let's make my son a bitch. Let's do it. Earn that suit, son. Earn that suit. That wasn't bad, right? Actually, it's coming to me.
Earn this. It's basically like you sort of have to do like an Indian accent and then like tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to put my penis in you, son. Do you like that? You are lucky because in my neighborhood, nobody was allowed to put their finger in their son like I do for you, son. I taste you like a cupcake batter.
I came from a very difficult beginnings. I had a very difficult childhood where I had no son whose butt I could touch. But now I have a son whose butt I can touch.
Buttless touch, son.
Not everyone can have a son whose butt they can touch. And I did not have that son until, you know, recently in the past 22 years.
Okay, so let's move on. Gina and Gamble, who are both becoming my favorite people really fast because Gamble's crazy and Gina is still taking no fucking prisoners, which I love.
Yeah, she's a bit of a fan.
They go to some fashion show, but it's not a fashion show. They're like donating clothes to be auctioned off. And Gina has this like weird mini skirt dress thing, but not. It's a mini skirt in the front, but a dress in the back. It's like a housewife's jewels all over the front type of dress. Yeah. And some gay couple buys it for like $6,000 or something. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I guess we can imagine.
No, technically what she said was, I don't know what they're going to do with the dress, but I could perish a few thoughts. Taking on that. I love that. I could perish a few thoughts.
Oh, and Gamble, Gamble is basically following her around like a little puppy dog. But I love that Gina just says that. She's like, well, you know, I like Gamble, but she's a bit of a fan.
Yeah. And Gamble's like, I really appreciate your help with Janet. And she did say that. She did say appreciate again. And I was like, hee
hee. Oh, Gina! Yeah, you're selling your dress! Gina! Oh, I'm so proud of her.
I'm going to bid on your dress, and then I'm going to... I really appreciate your dress, and I'm going to wear it when I get to walk my dog, and I'll go, walkies, walkies! Gina!
Gina, I'm so proud of you for having a dress. It's so amazing. Look how you have a dress, Gina. Gina's dress went up there. Bid on it, and then all these people started bidding on it. Everybody around Melbourne.
Bidding on the dress.
My gamble voice is just going to get weirder every week. Because every time this show's on, I try and do it with her, like, to learn it, and I just start laughing harder every time, because it gets harder. It's like, her upper face does not move.
The right of it is to just not move your upper face at all.
She, for some reason, I just feel like she reminds me of, like, a rubber band being, like, strummed or something like that. No, it's more candy now. Candy
bears. Like someone's vacuuming in and goes...
Sounds like a race. Sounds like a very small race car, like someone's racing a scooter.
I also love the scene when Gina's like, listen, I've always got time for Chica, but, you know, Chica sits on the fence, and it takes a lot of bravery to get involved in some business that's not yours. What are you talking about? You know, like a soldier because she's getting involved in everybody else's business. Yeah.
She's a bit of a fence sitter. Well, let me tell you something about that fence. Yeah, that fence is made out of cards, and your whole deck of cards is going to come down, Chica.
Chica's going to be sitting on a pile of cards all over the ground. Ground cards.
Grand cats. Look, you know what they're going to look like? They're going to look like tiles.
They look like tiles that don't go together. And then Chica's just going to be on a pile of cards that don't go together, right? And misplaced tiles. No one wants a game of memory that's not finished, are they?
A lot of overlapped tiles, not set out neatly like a kitchen.
Angie is no texting us. What shows should she watch for tomorrow? Because tomorrow's special guest is Miss Angie Thomas from the Rough Biscuits podcast. Is it Rough Biscuits? What's it called?
Small Potatoes.
Small Potatoes.
Rough Biscuits. That's funny. well, tomorrow's show we'll be discussing Beverly Hills and Southern Charm and Shaun of the Sunset.
Okay.
Let her know that. And that's a little advertisement for tomorrow's show with Angie.
Guys, there you go. Okay, so the next thing on this Real Housewives of Melbourne. Next on the Real Housewives of Melbourne.
House of Tiles.
Speed dating with Janet. Oh, Lord, girls. Every date with Janet is like a speed date because she's like a milk with an expiration date on it. You better drink that shit fast because it's about to turn to cheese.
So I believe one of her questions that she asked was, if aliens came and invited you to their planet, would you go? Janet, that's just not the best way to...
You know, 80s speed dating.
Yeah. If you were a crayon, what color would you be? If you were a Sharpie marker, would you be easy to wash out of a shirt or difficult?
Like a Janet.
If you were a blazer, would you be three buttons or two?
If you were a mailman, would you drive to every mailbox or would you park on the corner and walk to each?
If you were a box of Special K, would you be original flavor or that new one that has the chocolate in it?
If you were a mosquito net in Africa, would you keep out all the mosquitoes or would you let one in just to be naughty?
If you were a plant, would you rather be a potted plant that just sits on a table? Would you like to be a hanging plant in a plastic thing?
She's so ridiculous. And I love that the men coming on to her, there's like the obvious gay guy who's like, I teach women to come for 15 minutes. And she's like,
really? How do you do that, darling?
Darling?
She's like the Australian cocoon. She's like the Australian cocoon where all the old ladies like get useful again and start boning everything.
I like the Indian guy who he's like a dog lover. He was like sexy, I thought. She should have gone out with him.
She probably will. I mean, God bless her. She's like, why would I go out with somebody my own age? I don't want to be pushing people around in a wheelchair. I'm like, Janet, you're 50, remember? Aren't you like 53?
Yeah.
You're showing your lies, Janet.
If you had to be a wheelchair, would you be a wheelchair that had an engine on it or one that you had to push with your own hands?
If you were a walker, would you be a walker with wheels on the front or with tennis balls? Or would you just be a plain walker so everybody could hear you scraping down the hallway like a naughty boy?
If you had to drink a beverage, would it be prune juice or cranberry juice? Explain.
If your pee could smell like anything, would it be Starbucks or roses or just regular pee like a naughty boy?
Like, stop trying to pretend to be horny over every little thing that's happening. She's like, what makes you cry? And he's like, animal abuse. She's like, oh, yes, it's all about the animals.
Oh, I feel like we're kindred spirits now.
We're kindred spirits because we care about the animals. Oh, look at the dog. You love dogs, too. I love dogs, too. I think I'm going to marry him.
And I'm like, Jackie's with her, and she's like, shine, shine, shine. You know, you're going to get with a guy, and then the guy's going to be, you know, I'm going to tell you who's good and who's not. That one's full of crap. That one's gay. That one's sad.
She's like, the angels are telling me that one's gay. I'm like, no, it's probably the lipstick that he's wearing.
She's like, actually, you've given my angel a boner. And so it's really difficult for my angel to concentrate because he's got a boner for you, Janet. Janet, why don't you hook up with my angel boner? Sean, Sean, Janet.
The angels are telling me that that man is Indian.
Does she have a, she has bigger boobs this year, right? I mean, I'm sorry, that's so shallow to talk about. But Jackie's got some big old boobs, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I haven't noticed. Look at those. I just keep, they keep like coming into my frame of vision. I'm like, wait, did she always have those? I mean, I don't really look at boobs, but I just keep looking at them. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm being Andy at a reunion.
My only.
Hi, Chica. Hi, Janet. Hi, Jackie. Love the new boobs.
My only issue with Jackie is that she's like, really overdoing the shine, shine, shine thing. Like, anytime she, like, walks into the room, she's like, oh, shine, shine. Oh, well, I like this dress. This makes me feel all shine, shiny inside, and I'm going to shine on the shoes.
Yeah, it's her
all
twirl.
Right, shine, shine. I'm going to shine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's her yes, we can.
Yeah.
But less important. Let's see. Okay, old lady questions, pool boy, cruelty to animals, lunch with Pettiflor. Oh, okay. So then the ladies go to lunch. Who was at lunch with Pettiflor where they're talking about Nouveau Riche? And she's like, what is my name?
Cheaper.
What is my Barbie name? If her name is the blah, 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 then what is I? And they said, oh, you're Nouveau Riche Barbie. And she's like, what is this, Nouveau Riche? You don't know what Nouveau Riche is? You're talking about how you're one of the smartest people in the world, bitch. New money, what do you think it is?
I think she was with Cheaper and someone else, maybe Jackie. And I think
Jackie was in every scene actually today.
Yeah, I feel like Pettiflor was just like, so now tell me what they've been saying about me. I'm like, oh God, this woman's looking for a fight. She's like, have they been talking about my son with a beautiful bum? Do they want to touch it? Do they want to touch it? Nouveau riche, does that mean I'm newly rich with a bum of a son? I become wealthy with my son's bum?
Why didn't she call me woman with a gorgeous son with a finger in his butt, Barbie?
How about extremely sexy son, Barbie?
How about bouncing her baby boy up and down on her lap, Barbie?
How about staring at my son while he is in the bathroom, showering through the crack of the door, Barbie?
How about hidden camera in my son's toilet, Barbie?
How about accidentally walking into his bedroom while he is masturbating and then saying, oh, my apologies, I did not realize that this was not my bedroom. And then he says, Mom, why are you still standing here? And I say, oh, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. Let me go.
Bobby. okay, so she's all pissed off. Okay, so the new ones, you know, you got to respect the new girls this year because the girls in Melbourne are hungrier than the girls in America. In America, they're like, wow, I hope that I can be on Housewives long enough to get my, you know, new line of glasses going. And in Melbourne, they're like, we better fight or we're fired. You know, like they come on and they are ready to rumble. Pettifleur is ready to take down anybody who she even meets. Like, this bitch is just ready for a fight. And so is Gamble. So that makes it kind of annoying to watch, but they're very funny at it.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Cheeker once again was put in the position of being the gossip, and she was like, she's like, well, Gamble called you, you know, she called you nouveau riche Barbie, but you know, it's really, it's, I don't really see why it's a bad thing, you know, because you know, it's not, you know, it means that you've come up in the world, so I think it's rather a lovely thing to say about someone.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you earned your money, so that money is new because you earned it. So I think what she meant to call you was good for you, Barbie, because that's the way to do it. You know, you come into this country, you came from a poor town, and then you made it happen for yourself. I mean, look at your son in an $8,000 suit. You know, old money doesn't do that. So congratulations, new money. All right, that was a compliment. Gamble just likes you. She wants to be your friend.
Let's go. Let's all go hang out with Brucey.
She's always trying to make everything okay. You know, Hitler wasn't that bad of a guy. He just wanted to make sure the Jews had a shower. He just had a vision.
You know, he had a vision. You can't fault him for having a vision.
I mean, who doesn't want a nice neighborhood? Am I right?
He's very ambitious. Very ambitious. You know, you can't fault him for having ambition.
In my house, that's called goal setting, and we approve of that. You know, we approve of goal setting. You know, you get a gold star on the refrigerator every time you achieve a goal. Isn't that right, Brucey?
Every time Brucey buys me a pashmina, he gets a gold star.
Every time I can get past Brucey's mangina, I get a gold star. You see, it works both ways there. Sometimes life takes a little digging. A little digging and a little pulling. But it eventually works.
Okay, so they...
I'm obsessed with manginas lately. I don't know why. I think because I'm losing weight and I'm like, when are you going to go down? So let's see. So then we have the psychic. Stupid Jackie. Shine. All right, we need to have a meeting with the model people because I'm going to know who I want to do for the La Mascara. We need a model. Yes. I don't care how she looks on the outside. I care what she looks like on the inside. So I want pictures of spirits. I want you to give me pictures of spirits. Just get a spirit camera and take pictures of their insides. I want selfies without makeup, and I just want to see souls. All right? Poor model
like,
people are
well,
like,
this one looks... Right. And they're like... And the modeling woman was like, oh, I like this one. I think you'll like this one. Just something that's sad about her. She's like, oh, yeah, she's been sad. She feels real sad. I feel like I almost want to cry. I almost want to cry. There's a sadness about it. The angels are telling me she's sad.
Like this one really wants to make it in the modeling agency, but everybody's telling her no. But she doesn't take no for an answer. She just keeps coming back and coming back again. You know, we're going to call her in. We're going to call her in because she's not getting a chance.
Oh, and look at this one. This one had a Kit Kat this morning, I can tell. She had a Kit Kat. No, I love Kit Kats. Let's bring her in.
This one fought the smell of cupcakes. I can tell that. And I'm going to bring that in because that's a special gift. You know, only angels can make you fought cupcakes like that. You know, most people smell like rotten fish or whatever. But this girl's got it. Shine, darling. Shine.
This one, he has been involved in a pyramid scheme. I can tell. She feels guilty.
This one's putting Clairol. A shampoo into little makeup bottles and selling it as a pyramid scheme. She's going to jail. I'm going to get this one in jail. Call the police right now. I love that her and her kinky ass husband are always looking for models for something. Because last year, didn't they have a thing where they were looking at burlesque dancers?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're always looking at hot chicks together. I like that. They're kinky.
That's true. Yeah,
she's like, look at my husband. You know, he's like little tiny Johnny Depp. He's like little Johnny Depp if Johnny Depp was being played by Danny DeVito in a Lifetime movie with no budget, isn't he? No, it's so hot, isn't he? Shine, darling. Yeah, stick it in me.
It almost makes me want to cry. I mean, I feel sadness about it. I feel sadness about Ben and Silverchair.
Silverchair. All right, so what's next here? Hungry, insecure. Yeah, I was just saying. Hungry, insecure, dinner.
The next thing I have is, I don't remember the context of it. I just have Gamble, colon,
It's hard to be cuter than my wolf pup.
Why did she say that? Why did she say that?
Because I think, I don't remember, but I think she's talking about how everybody had to show up at this couples dinner and no one brought couples. And she's like,
maybe they're ashamed of their men because not everyone can have a man as cute as my Wolfie, my little Wolfie pup.
Oh, Wolfie.
Not everybody can have a Wolfie like my little Wolfie pup.
And he's like, all right, Gamble, I think maybe now you should calm down a little bit.
Well, Gamble just went crazy, Gamble, for no reason. First Gamble. Of all, Pettyfloor is like,
Gamble, I hear you call Barbies. What kind of Barbie am I? And she's like, I call you no Barbies, Barbie.
Ah, oh, that was great fun.
She's like, oh, because you are from money, you are from old money. It's like, yes, my father had a place in Palm Beach on the beach because he sold artwork based off of dolphins that were found on the beach.
She's like, well, so you, he was rich.
Rich enough, right? Rich enough. My house is big.
You're, I think, overlooking the best part of their argument, which is when they go, I've heard you've been saying horrible things about me. I've heard you've been... Then she's like, I've heard you've been saying horrible things about me. I'm not stupid, are you?
Are you? Are you? Are you?
No. Are you? No. Well, sometimes I am. Oh, then you prove my point.
It's like, oh, you two are idiots. You're both stupid, okay? Yeah. It's a draw.
I'm going to go back to Wolfie right now.
That was funny. And she's like,
I'm going to go back to my friends.
Like, okay, you do that then. Yeah, they're just trying to start shit with anybody. But then it turned to Janet was talking to Wolfie, and how did she even get on Janet? Why did she start with her?
Oh, where she's like, know.
Oh, don't tell him that. It's because you called me a prostitute.
And she's like, I did not.
Like, yes, you did. You called me a prostitute and a dick-swallowing whore. And then you said my vagina was like a Holland Tunnel, which isn't even in Palm Beach where my grandfather is from.
The Holland Tunnel is not even in Palm Beach or in Holland. Please use a geographically correct tunnel.
Gamble, darling. Gamble. Calm down, Gamble.
Let's settle down, sweetie.
I think I'd like to leave. I think I'd like to leave.
No, we're not leaving. I see what you're doing.
Whatever you'd like to do, Gamble.
Yeah, you need to calm down, darling.
And then Rick was like, oh, I was a bit of a peacemaker. I was a bit of a peacemaker, I think. Good for you, Rick. Good for you.
And then
Singing Waiters came out, and they're
Then we have the Lydia thing, which was really sad. Yeah. And Lydia's like, I just went to my son's wedding, and it was so gorgeous because, you know, it was a wedding. And, you know, I could really see that it was my son, because when he got up there to do his own vows, they didn't make any sense. They were English words, but they weren't stringed together properly. And I thought to myself, that's me coming out in my son, because sometimes I just don't speak words right. And, you know, when I lost my son when I was 21, I gave birth to a dead son. And everyone's like, oh, it's like, yeah. And so now he's like two sons up there getting married. And so I was watching two sons up there getting married. And then someone starts laughing.
Who was laughing at the dead son story? No, what happened was that Gamble was like smiling at Wolfie. And so then Jackie was like, stop snickering. But I actually didn't think that Gamble was making fun of the moment. I think Gamble was having a moment. And then Gina was like, she's having a moment with a partner. Back off.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And Gina was about to kill somebody.
Let's kill Jackie. She's
like, that was so sad watching Lydia cry, because I just figured she didn't have any emotions.
Yeah, no, that was sad that she had a stillborn.
But also kind of a weird toast.
Yeah.
Like maybe let's save the dead baby stuff for like a lunch. I don't know. There's about to be Fat Singing Waiters. So let's shove the baby story. And then Gamble was so trying not to say anything mean. And they're like, so what did you think about the story, Gamble? And she's like,
well, you know, women have rough lives. And, you know, a lot of times if you looked into women's lives, they'd be rough.
There's a lot of tragedy in a woman's life, and I don't think people appreciate that very much.
Meanwhile, when the waiters came out and started singing, Janet was like, oh, these waiters, they're just so wonderful. I'm sorry, I'm still doing my Gamble voice. I can't help it.
It's hard. They're so different this year. It's really hard to differentiate.
It's hard to transition from like Gamble to Janet.
But I honestly can only do Jackie and Lydia right now with confidence. The other ones just sound crazy. I think I got better with Pettiflora today, but it's going to take a long time. And Janet, I can't even do Janet anymore because she's too close to Gamble. And I can't do Gamble because she's too close to Dr. Ruth Westheimer and also the chick from Married to Medicine, Tanya.
Yeah. Yeah, Toya.
Toya.
What I thought it was.
But the best is the waiter starts singing, and then everyone's like, "Oh, that's so beautiful. Their voices are so amazing." And my mom just like turns and goes to me like, "Ugh, he's awful."
That was annoying. Mom, me. What is this, Johnny Rockets? What's the place that used to have singing waiters? I used to be like, really? Why don't you guys focus on the food?
Is it Michelli's?
Chili's?
Michelli's, the Italian place.
I don't know. There's some place here that has singing waiters, and they're terrible. Oish. It's like, really? You're a white girl. You cannot be singing from once on this island, okay? Mama will not provide for you. Get out.
So what I thought was strange was that Janet then, by the end of this dinner, she made some comment that she was like, looking forward to hanging out with like Pettiflora or something like that. So I'm like, oh, I thought that Janet hated Pettiflora, but I guess that she likes her now.
They just keep switching. They can't decide what they're doing. I love that Gina is just trying to pick a fight at this point with Sunshine, because Sunshine's like, oh, so you got a new house? Did you get someone in there with some sage or something? You know, like a psychic, you know, because I'm a psychic and I don't like spirits in my house. And Gina's like, no, I don't believe in that. Sage is stupid. I don't like the way it smells. I don't believe in witchery. So I think it's all stupid. And if I don't want spirits in my house, I just go in there and tell them, get out of here, spirits, because I said so. And then they leave.
I looked that spirit right into his ghost eyes and I said, get out of my house.
And they go, I don't need all this burning of sage. It stinks.
Get that spirit out of my house right this minute.
But to Jackie's credit, she didn't get mad. She was like, you just discredited what I do for a living. How do you do that? You know, we're on television. This could hurt my career. You know, this could hurt my professional business. Jackie was just like, whatever, you old cow. I don't care what you think anymore.
Yeah. And then at the end was Cheeker meeting with Gamble with their dogs. And that's when Gamble's going, walkies, walkies.
I know she learned one trick. One trick she's learned.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I teach my dogs to walk. I say, walkie, walkie. And then I give him a treat. And if you put it on their nose, they sit down. Ooh, everybody in Melbourne knows that's how to make a dog sit.
And she's judging Chica's dog. It's like, dude, your dog learned how to sit last week. Okay. It's not like, it's not like your dog is Lassie, for Christ's sake.
Chica's like, every time that Brucey takes the dogs to Saks Fifth Avenue, they get a treat.
Speaking of a treat, I'm cleaning out a drawer while we're doing this, darling, which is why you can hear joy, pure joy on my end. And I just pulled out two things. I pulled out breast spray that says, understand your mother instantly without having to meet with her or talk to her. And I guess it's like peppermint breath spray. I don't get it. But then also I got something that Katie Cazola gave me last time she came over. Streisand Partners, which her husband, not David, made for.
Yeah, he won a Grammy
not
for
David
that?
Foster. Yeah. I don't know if he won a Grams, probably.
Yeah.
We'll know next time Katie's on. Katie, come back to the Five and Dime. Katie C.
Yeah.
All right. So dog training. And my other favorite thing was the Janet lunch where she was making fun of Gamble and saying, you know, she says old money, but she doesn't know the difference because she's got no money. And she's like, just like the song says, I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke person. All right. Yeah. Doesn't rhyme, Janet, actually. You've ruined the song.
Janet does Kanye West's new album, hitting stores this fall.
The whole thing. That's the next thing that not David Foster needs to work on.
Please listen to my new song called Persons in Paris. Doot, 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 doot.
Oh my god.
What's she order? Fish filet?
We've got a lot to get to on this podcast, Ben, so we need to get moving along. I know, we've got two more shows. We've done here now. Alright, so what do you want to do next? Blood, Sweat, and Hymns? Or would you like Real Housewives of Atlanta, Ben?
Well, let's do Atlanta, because I took notes on that, and I didn't take notes on Blood, Sweat, and Heels. And not much happened on either one of them, but that's okay.
Yeah, all right, I'm dancing.
So Atlanta, I actually watched with my dad, which my dad was, you know, my dad was amused by the whole thing, and he thinks it's ridiculous. And at one point when the women were, like, I guess, talking about who knows what, my dad just turns to me and goes, these insights. but he did laugh. My dad definitely laughed when Phaedra said, I haven't called you a whore this year.
I called you Satan, but I didn't call you a whore. So we start with Kenya's booty coming out of the pool. That's a sight that does not need to be seen, okay? That shit still had the price tag hanging off of that.
There are many guys who would disagree with you.
I mean, I guess, but that thing looks like it could crack your walnuts right away, turn them into walnut juice.
I mean, it's no Pettiflor's son, but it's good. It'll do.
So they move on to the city on their vacation.
Yeah.
And they get a butler, blah, blah, blah. Costumes, moose fitting at Cinderella.
So, by the way, Portia has now officially graduated to drag queen status. Like, when they all moved to Manila, when they left the farm and went to Manila, Portia is looking officially drag queen now.
Got to keep those African men happy. That's right. A certain level of wiggery.
Yeah, I did enjoy the scenes with Nini getting the costume design. I'm sorry, costume fitting. And then Greg is like, ooh, you'd sell real well down in Atlanta. All this booty. And he starts like doing all these like, he's making like, all twerk, these weird noises.
Twerking booty.
And this old gay guy is just like,
he's like, what are you doing?
He's like, okay.
He's like, Sherry Shepherd did not do this.
He's like, someone get me a Zima.
Yeah, he was not having he was not having the moose fitting. I love that when Greg walked in the room, he's like, wow! Like, whoa, Greg, all right? Try and hide it a little bit. Bring it in.
Well,
twerk, I think off Hobbit House. Oh, that Phaedra thing. Like, I love little people. And then she's like, I want to go to the Hobbit House. I got a thing for little people. Like,
yeah.
This whole episode was really weird. A lot of my notes have twerk off and then question mark. And Phaedra, but is it appropriate? I'm like, really, Phaedra? You were fucking some guy who just got out of jail to have your babies. And then you got him thrown back in jail again. Who are you calling appropriate? You're having sex with some hooker named Chocolate.
Yeah. Well,
that's it. That's all I have to say.
I made a note about the Hobbits too. That was odd. And then I have a note that says goodbye montage for Nini. It looked like there was a goodbye montage for Nini when she was like, if I look back on all where I've come from, and they show like it was just like an extended montage of Nini throughout the years doing things.
But also like, Nini just being awful pretty much for the most part. It wasn't any of her fun stuff. It was like, look, here is Nini screaming, I'm rich, bitch, at Sheree and being chased out and called toilet lid teeth. Oh, look, there is Nini making an ass out of herself again. Like, it was like this. I kind of felt bad for her. And I kind of had the same feeling too, which is why I was extremely annoyed to read this story that's come out came out today, actually. They're claiming that Nini Leakes has been given a huge raise to stay on Atlanta. She's already making over she's already making over $1 million an episode from what I hear. Or is it $1 million a year? What does she make? It must be $1 million.
A million an episode is like,
yeah, that's like Friends money. Yeah, she's making like over $1 million a year. And she's already the highest paid housewife, and she's going to be getting even more to come back. Now, of course, this is Radar Online pointing this out, which is usually wrong, and says things like Teresa Giudice is going to get a spinoff behind bars, which is totally false. So, who knows?
Nini Leakes is, She's done. No one likes her. I mean, Bravo is they're not idiots. They can see where the buzz is, and they're also cheap as hell. And if Nini is being difficult to work with and she's no longer a fan favorite, there's no reason for them to keep her.
I think at this point she won't even film with anybody. So, because this article also mentions that she's even going to get bigger bonuses, which Katie's told us when she's on the show that these ladies actually get bonuses for fights and wars. Wow. Like, whenever there's a war or a fight, they actually get paid more money for it, which explains why Nini's always trying to start fights over nothing, because that bitch just wants money.
But then the fact that she didn't go on this trip with them is like a big deal. I think that Bravo, I can't imagine that Bravo was happy about that. And they're editing it to make it look like that Nini was like at her Broadway fitting while this was happening. But I don't believe that that's necessarily the case. Like, it's totally conceivable that they just have edited it together to make it look that way.
Yeah.
I think that like not going on the trip is definitely bad news. And then when you get like a goodbye montage to go with it, that's dangerous. I mean, what drives me
nuts...
But
they did give her a spinoff, so that would be pretty ballsy of them to fire her. But I think she's just kind of sick of doing it, too, don't you?
I think so, too. She seems like she is easily frustrated, and she's sick of doing it because she's no longer the star that she once was, in the sense that, like, other members have come up, like Kenya, who have totally rivaled her for, like, fan favorite or just, like, sort of like the face of The Real Housewives.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, what frustrates me about Nini is that this was actually a very peaceful trip, and it was peaceful and everyone got along. And you'd hope that Nini would watch this and say to herself, like, oh gosh, like, maybe I am the problem.
They don't do that.
Instead, what she does is she can watch it and be like, and see, because I wasn't there, it was a boring-ass trip, right? Because it was no fights. You know, that's how she
looked at it. And it actually was, and it was actually really fun to watch. Like, it was actually a really fun episode now that they're all getting along. They were being hilarious. I laughed through the whole thing. My notes just say LOL a lot. It'll be like riding a horse, LOL. And Phaedra's like, now can I speak to you, please, horse renter guy? Because this woman who was leading my horse was telling me about her sad story about her husband dying and how it's been so hard for her. And I thought, we have so much in common because my husband is in jail. After stealing cars and stealing identities and pretending to be other people and taking tons of money from families like hers and making them broke. It's like,
your husbands have nothing in common, Phaedra, okay? And this woman doesn't even know English because you need a translator to tell her all this. Shut up. Just give her your 20 and move on. And she's like, make sure the cameras can see me. Give her this $20 or whatever she gave her.
Please. It was like a Blockbuster card. She's like, here, take this and enjoy all sorts of rentals.
She's like, get 2-for-1 angel food cakes at Ralph's for the next month.
Here's the library card.
Here's some stamps before they raise the price. You'll need to use 2 just so your letter's not sent back.
Here's my Quiznos card. It's brand new, so there are no punches yet. But when you get there, you'll get a free sandwich.
Here's $1 off a breakfast sandwich at Starbucks if you use this before April 14th.
Here's a Monopoly piece I got from McDonald's last year. I'm not sure if it's still going to be redeemed, but you might be able to get yourself a chicken sandwich.
He's like, here's a horse. Just
handing back the horse you just rented. Let's see here.
Here's a coupon I found in the back of my clothing hanger.
And then the guy's like, oh, thank you so much for your gift, because you know she's very shy. It's very difficult for her to open up. I'm like, how shy could she have been? She just told this woman her life story on a damn horse who she's never met before with cameras. I mean, give me a break. That bitch ain't shy. Her husband's probably still alive at home. She tells everybody that.
Yeah. I like that Portia. First of all, Portia was like dressed like Pocahontas practically. And I love that she was calling herself the Princess of Thoughtland. That was cracking me up.
Portia's been very funny. She's going to get that little peach back, I think. Yeah. Even though she hasn't fought with anybody, I think she's going to pull a Luann and get her. They're punishing him now, you know, like Luann got her apple back or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing in the episode was Kenya and Phaedra finally having a sit down. And this was preceded by Phaedra calling her preacher, because she just wants, she's like, listen, I just want the good Lord, and I just want to be as, what did she say? I want to be like the wise virgin, strong. I was like, the wise virgin never got in a knockdown, drag-out fight calling other people a whore, lady, okay? Right. You do not have the same problem. And you have never been a virgin. You haven't been a virgin since eighth grade. But she's like, what should I do? And he's like, don't give away your beauty, your inner beauty. I'm like, oh, you two need to both shut up.
I loved when they showed the whore montage of Phaedra calling Kenya a whore. It's like, I may have called her a whore in the past, and then cut to like her saying it 25 times. Kenya,
I'm
more
sorry, how bad can you feel for Kenya? I mean, Kenya is like playing this whole nice thing now, and I have to give her credit. It does work, and it's worked many, many times on Housewives shows where people just rehab their image in a season. You forget all the shitty things they did. But Kenya immediately started shit with Phaedra, tried to charge her like $100,000 for some shitty video. Then she stole her video idea. Then she fell all over herself flirting with her husband just to make Phaedra mad. Of course she's going to call her a whore. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I know Phaedra's like a bitch on wheels too. Don't get me wrong. But at least she's not pretending she's... Well, yes, she is. But I guess Phaedra's always done that. She's always been like a whore in a church lady outfit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Kenya's just trying to play this innocent thing like, you don't get... That was the best thing. You don't get to call me a whore. You don't get to do that.
Like, I haven't called you a whore this year.
I've called you Satan.
Meanwhile, the other girls are in the other room, and they're like looking at Bitter Melon. And I guess Portia's making comments about like masturbating with it. She's like, ooh, put that in the microwave. Candy's like, oh, put my fruit in the microwave.
Candy's like, I ain't never heard of that. Well, yeah, because you sell dildos. Yeah. Why would you recommend fucking a cucumber?
See? Now, Kegel balls.
I love at the beginning of the Phaedra-Kenya conversation when Phaedra's like, you know, when we first met, we were working on a friendship. And the only clip they have of them is eating ice cream together going, that's good. Yes, that is good. Like, you did not have a friendship. You ate ice cream one time. Let's see. Oh, and then she's like, well, would you come to church with me on Sunday? And Kenya's like, how about we pray now? Okay, you two are both full of shit. But that was a cute scene, and it will be nice to see them hang out together because we've learned on this show, two bitches are magic together.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it is right.
Be good little partners.
For now. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Nini reacts.
Well, they're, you know, you have to hand it to Claudia, too, because Claudia has basically walked in, stolen Porsche's job, and is doing a pretty good job at completely discrediting Nini.
Yeah.
And she 100%. Acts all nice. She's like, oh, I'm just Claudia. I'm so nice. But she's really wreaked some havoc on the cast.
Yeah. I mean, all Nini did this episode was stand around in a big Renaissance dress.
And then they were cutting from like praying and happiness and everybody hugging and getting along to Nini going, if I ever hear twirl one more time, don't tell me the twirl costume, man. And he's like, what? What did I do wrong? And they had to like stop tape to tell him what that meant.
Yeah, he's
and then
like,
he was
I'm
like kind of half laughing, like, oh, ha, okay, then spin. Like, bitch, get out of here. You were like the 30th heifer to get in this dress. Do you know how many times I've had to take this thing in and out? Okay, I'm going to have to add about a foot of fabric to the stomach of this dress because of you. Stop your fucking twerking. Get the hell out of my costume fitting room.
I like how he was trying to give her a pep talk, too. He's like, Nini, you are the active verb of this musical. And they cut to Greg with this look on his face like, what's a verb?
She ain't active. What's a verb?
What'd you call my wife? I call you a verb.
She's like, that's right, I'm an active verb. I was, and I made my money. I did it for the money, honey. I'm a rich bitch. My active verb. That's why I work.
Okay. My cousin Gerond.
The best part is the end because they showed clips of next week where they're working in a homeless shelter. Which is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen is Nini in like a hairnet or some shit at a homeless shelter. And Claudia's making her fight in the homeless shelter. Love it. Cannot wait.
I love when... Can't wait for Claudia to take down Nini.
Oh yeah, she's not going to let her pass. Nini's trying to pass so hard as she won't let her pass. So what's next? Blood, sweat, and heels. Cancer is uncomfortable. Okay, that's the moral of this story. Jesus, what is she doing on TV with stage 3 cancer? Daisy, lay down.
I know, Daisy, don't you remember what happened to Gene Siskel? Like, take a break.
Yeah, relax. Have an app.
You need to...
They'll give you your job when it's all out of you.
Yeah, you can't be, like, going up to Micah's place in Harlem and walking up those stairs. You gotta, like, just stay in Brooklyn and sit back and heal up, girl.
If she dies of cancer on this show, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, I know. It's like really scary. It's like, I'm honestly, when they were showing her getting chemo, I thought that was a very emotional scene. And she's sitting there crying, getting the chemo and asking to be healed. And the breathing coach is like, let the medicine take you over. But it was still, you know, it was just... I don't know. I just felt so bad.
It was really. It was teary. It was a teary moment over it here was. In the Carom home.
It was. It was. I don't know. The poor girl. She's so sunny. And you know. I mean. I definitely like had my annoyances with her last year, and I complained about who knows what. But at the end of the day, you don't want to see someone with cancer, especially someone so young like Daisy.
Well, and Daisy's, like, stuff you make fun of Daisy for isn't, like, being mean or being a catty bitch. It's just being silly, you know? It's like, oh, my woman event on a rooftop in Brooklyn because women need to celebrate each other. My new book is coming out in 5... Like, shut up.
Poor Daisy. If you think about it, it's just been, like, a series of heartbreaking missteps and failures for her. I mean, there was that brunch, which then everyone made fun of. Then she went on the date where she was late, which was, you know, it sucks that she was late. But then the guy made her cry at the table. That was like heartbreaking. I mean, she was late. She shouldn't have been late. But wow, he really laid into her.
Yeah, it's a lot of uncomfortable moments with her. Yeah. And, you know, one positive thing about all of this is it goes to prove once and for all that a positive attitude doesn't mean shit, okay? So get off my ass about a positive attitude, okay? Because that's the most positive person I've ever seen, and she's gone through more shit in 2 years than anybody else I know personally, you know? So screw it. I'm going to keep my negative attitude.
Meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum is Melissa Ford, who I've actually always enjoyed Melissa on this show.
Oh, she's got the second-year curse of becoming a total... Her bitch flower is blooming in the second year, for sure.
It's just more like... This whole thing about this, like, I want to put my video vixen reputation to bed. Okay, here's an idea. How about you stop talking about it?
Yeah, how
I
about never not would make a musical about it to hold on to it, you weirdo? Yeah,
exactly. For vixens who contemplated homicide when the video was too much, it's like you're never gonna live it down if you keep on using it as your headline.
And then she's like, yeah, it's so weird that a job in a bikini, dancing sexually and twerking in music videos, and then guys, like, want to fuck me? It's like, I mean, have some respect. Like, come on, lady.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't be a car and then be surprised when someone tries to put a key in you, okay?
Ooh, shade.
But the play was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because she was being such a diva about it, which was hilarious because it was in this tiny little theater. It was like Actors Spot Theater. It cost $50 a night to go in there.
Did you call it the Actors Thought Theater?
What is it called? I forget. It's like the actor. I was going to say the Actors Gang, but I know it's not that. It's like.
I thought when you said the Actors Thought, like THOT, I was like, ooh, that's real shady.
Yeah, no, like, that was definitely a misspeak.
No, I don't know who yet, but I know it was a tiny little theater. Actually, it wasn't that tiny, but it was definitely a small theater. And as much as this musical was, like, the worst thing ever, I did kind of feel bad for her when there were just, like, one technical issue after another. I mean, sound blowing out and lights going off. It was a total disaster.
I just came out of this thinking she was kind of an asshole. Honestly,
yeah.
Like her mom came to town with, who was that? Her aunt or her friend?
Her
or something?
Aunt. It's yeah, her aunt. They're so funny together.
They were like, hilarious.
Totally just, like Midwestern.
Just that they're
style.
Her mother and her aunt. You know, they all look so different. But so she's like, oh, it's my mom. And, you know, me and my mom, I was closer with my dad growing up. And me and my mom didn't really get along. So you know that she's just kind of this kind of slutty or whatever. Like she turned into a video vixen. You know, her mother was horrified. And she's like, but my mother never really understood what I went through. She never really saw what happened to me. So this play is like opening up to my mother for the first time ever. She's getting to see inside my heart. I'm like, I'm sure your mother was shocked that you were fucking people on the set of music videos. I'm sure that that's coming to, as a huge shock to her.
Yeah.
Because that was really like the big secret is when she was like, I'm a video star. And then some guy came up and started like boning her from behind. Like that was like the big reveal.
Yeah.
Her mom what did not look surprised.
Yeah, no. If anything, she just looks hot and bored.
Yeah, like everybody else. I love that Daisy was like, you know, that play was good, but I'm not sure if the point was become a video vixen or don't become a video vixen. Because she like glamorizes it at the same time she's talking about like what a victim she is, you know? It's like you can't be proud and ashamed at the same time. Make up your mind.
Mm-hmm. I liked how before the play started, Micah and Demetria wound up like in the lobby together, standing right next to each other, just not talking. Like
Micah's hilarious.
Yeah, Micah is so funny. I mean,
and
she
Demetria's
just
not at all. She's just such an uptight downer bitch. Like she just sits there in a grumpy fat mood, giving dirty looks with her little slitty eyes at everybody. Yeah. And Micah is like,
she's the most awkward thing
I've ever done in my life. Just standing there. Like, she did this, like, 5-minute thing of impersonating them while they just stood there picking their teeth.
Well, they showed the footage at the same time. It was actually kind of brilliant. You know, here's the thing. I feel like Demetria is very smart. She's probably one of the smartest people on Bravo. But, man, she is just sour. She's just, like, overly cynical. She's just like a bullfrog, you know, that sort of sits there with like half open eyes and just stares at you.
And she's like, well, you know, I don't like to hang around bad people, you know, because I'm a smart person and smart people need to be, you know, the last time I saw her, she was trying to break down a door. So, you know, rehab. It's like you're just being a shallow, mean bitch. I mean, you're sitting here talking about how above it you are, but you're openly, like, when you're, like, what, in the same row as her, saying things like, I can't with that. I can't even look at that. You know, have a drink or whatever she's saying. She's just, like, making all these snide little comments. I don't know. She's just annoying. And you're also going up against, like, the most loved person on the show.
Yeah.
So, she knows that by now. So I'm not really sure what her deal is. But, yeah, she's a sour girl.
Yeah, I mean, she is dumb for going up against Micah. It's Micah, right? Or is it Micah? Micah, right? And the thing is, I wish I could, like, talk more about the things that Micah does, but they're so funny that it's just, it would be the equivalent of being like, oh, remember when she did that? That was funny. Or you remember when she did that? That was funny. She's just, like, funny the entire show.
Yeah, she's too much. Like, my friends have shown up places and shown their vagina because they gotten so drunk, like, many times. And, yeah, sometimes it's annoying, but, you know, I know they're crazy. I just tell my friends, well, they're crazy, so whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that Micah last year, she should have at least acknowledged and apologized for being such a crazy drunk bitch. Now, here's the thing that Demetria, though, to be fair, Demetria still is playing like she's a victim in all this. She was like, she's like, I'm not talking to her. She tried to break through a glass door to get to me. And I'm like, are you seriously like?
Yeah, she's trying to make it sound like it was Cujo, and it's not.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like she was coming at you with a knife. Like Glenn Close is here. You know, it was just she was drunk and trying to talk to you. It was like the most benign thing.
It's also hard to respect somebody when they're like, yes, because I'm doing my 50th novel and it's self-published, which means I have stop bragging.
Yeah,
maybe if you sell a lot, brag about that. But I mean,
yeah, I was like, translation, she was dropped by her publisher.
Totally.
First book didn't sell well.
She didn't sell enough.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why anyone would self-publish.
Mm-hmm. But one other thing I wrote was Melissa going on that radio show. I know I'm going back to Melissa. Sorry,
yeah, that's okay. That's
she
right.
started the show to go promote herself on the radio. And they're like, Melissa Ford, how you doing, baby? And she's like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm doing so much. I hate people who do that.
I hate that.
Like, they're so busy, but nobody else is. You know, nobody else does anything with their life. But she's like, oh, I'm so tired. And like, we'll save it for the show. Okay, so how's it going? So it's about being a video vixen? And she's like, yeah, you know, it's like I became famous for being a video vixen. I'm like, a bunch of people jerking off to you. I mean, it's not like you won an Oscar, okay? But she's like, I became really famous and they wouldn't let me grow. Like, no one will let me grow. They won't let me be anything more than just a video vixen. Like, the other day I got a dildo in the mail. I'm like, why aren't you talking about how you don't want to be a sex object, but then you're starting to talk about dildos? Like, you just need to be quiet, Melissa, okay? And how many fucking properties have you even rented? I'm not buying it with her. She needs to clear her shit up.
Yeah, exactly. Melissa, you are on probation. You're getting very dangerously close to being on our shit list.
Yeah, you're getting too big for your britches, lady.
Now, meanwhile, we also got our first taste of the two new cast members. One was some girl named, like, Chantal or Shelley or Shamuz or – what was her name?
I don't even remember. I didn't even write it down. That's how interesting they were. The British one I know girl. Is going to be fun because we see her telling people off at the end of the year.
Yeah. No, she's the British one. What's hilarious about her is that she knows who the popular ones are. So she comes as a guest of Geneva and Demetria. And, like, as the moment – the first chance that she gets to leave those two and run to Micah, she does it. She, like – then she's, like, by Micah and Daisy the entire night, hang out with them. And then, like, Demetria and Geneva are like – well, we're going. And she's like, but we're exchanging rings now. Oh, we can't go. We're exchanging rings.
Well, who's going to hang out with Wesley Snipes and Sour Sally when there's, like, fun people?
Yeah.
I mean, the girl with stage 3 cancer is more fun than you guys. Okay, perk up.
Yeah, it's true.
like, Jesus Christ. She's having more fun than you losers. Get it together.
Yeah. And by the way, it really bothered me that when Daisy said hi to Geneva and Demetria, that Demetria didn't say hi back at all. And then later on, Demetria, when she left, she was like, by the way, Daisy, you can say hi to me. It's okay. You can say hi to me. I'm like, shut up.
She's like, I don't understand why all the women call me a monster. You know, I'm not a monster. I'm just not going to put up with bullshit. It's like, you are a fucking monster. You come in, you give everybody dirty looks, you don't say hi, you're a bitch on purpose, you speak about them above your breath so everybody can hear you. You're an asshole, okay? Own it. Just be an asshole. I mean, that's one good thing about people like NeNe. At least she's just like, I'm an asshole. Like, Brandy Glanville, she's an asshole. And she's like, yeah, I'm an asshole. Like, and we'll talk about Beverly Hills tomorrow, but I love when Eileen's like, she said, Eileen, I admitted to you that I was an asshole, and I said I was sorry. And Eileen goes, and then you kept being an asshole. And Brandy just nods yes, like, yeah. And then turns away. Like, that's a perfectly acceptable answer, you know, because that's her thing, you know.
Yeah.
She's a dick.
She's just a dick. We also met Arzo, who is sort of like, she's the Afghani lady. She's kind of like the Afghanistan's version of Judy Gold. She's sort of like a...
That's a good call. You know,
she, what's funny about her is that, like, Geneva's like, oh, Afghani, so you're an Arab. And she's like, no, I'm Afghani. And she's like, whatever. She's like, but I have a black boyfriend. Geneva's like, okay.
Getting her cred in.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the addition of the new ladies is going to be fun because they look like they came to party.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like Arzo is going to be crazy. And I feel like the British one is going to say some really stuck-up things.
Can't wait.
I do kind of miss the condescending nature of Brie from last season, but that's okay.
But I love knowing that she's home feeling so above it all right now. I think that's so funny. Exactly. She's at her parents' house, the Hamptons.
The Hamptons, yeah. Like, could you believe we let that show film here in the Hamptons? It's a very exclusive community.
I should have listened to you, Mommy.
Well, I'm hearing an overhead delivery of sliders for MJ, so I think
it's time to go.
I think that I'm gonna go try to traipse across the street and get myself a free slider.
Do it, Ben.
All right. Well, this has been fun, and
it sure has. Thanks everybody for listening. We will be back tomorrow with our second episode of the week covering Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Shaw's of Sunset, and Southern Comfort with our special guest Angie Thomas from the Small Potatoes Podcast.
What'd you call it originally? Rough?
The Rough Biscuits? I don't know where I got that. we'll be back then. Please join us at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens for our premium content. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. And of course, find all of our social media links at watchwhatcrappens.com. And thanks so much for listening. Thank you for everybody who is supporting this. Or even just listening, you're supporting it. So don't feel like, with money. Thank you, everybody who gives us constant support and iTunes reviews, even when they're mad. And we do take your constructive criticism, lady who just wrote on there. I asked Ben to stop saying like so much.
Wait, what happened?
No, nothing. I'm just teasing. But if you haven't left a review, go leave it unless you hate us. And then please don't do that because we like good reviews and bad reviews are bad. Okay? No one likes a bad review. Okay? It's pretty simple. Yeah. Bad equals bad. That's so right. Anyway, thanks for your support. Thanks for being here. This is amazing to be doing 2 times a week. Loving it. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.